The Justice Department and White House have issued long-awaited guidance for agencies to fulfill the Digital Accountability and Transparency Act. The law was enacted a year ago. It requires agencies to use standard formats for financial information so they and the public can more easily track spending on contracts, grants, loans. For more on what this all means and how it's different from current agency practice, we turn to Bryce Pippert. He's a financial data expert and principal at Booz Allen Hamilton. Mr. Pippert, good morning. Great to have you on.
Tom, thanks for having me.
All right, so there's something, let's start with the background here. There's something called the Data Act Schema Model, which has actually been out a little longer than the guidance, which just came out last week. Is this something that's going to be familiar in general to people in finance, even in the federal government?
The concepts will definitely be familiar. What we're doing with the Digital Accountability and Transparency Act is expanding what gets exposed to the public related to federal spending and making sure that the concepts, everything from obligations to budget information to appropriations and then specific line item outlays, are all connected and disclosed in a consistent machine-readable way through the internet. So all of these things are things that CFO organizations deal with all the time, and sometimes they're in slightly different systems. So the change is that now they will be disclosed and published and reconciled with another layer of integrity and pushing out to the public for consumption.
We hear so often about how the CIOs and the CFOs should get along and so forth, and there's a new law on that front also. This sounds like a project that really will involve both of them, the CIO staff, the technical staff, and the financial staff, to really work hand in hand from the looks of it.
Yeah, this is definitely a set of legislative changes that has an impact both to CFO organizations and CIO organizations. And many federal agencies are looking at standing up internal working groups today to get those groups working together to analyze the impacts on their organization and think about broader data strategies. And many organizations, too, are taking this as an opportunity to step back and not just look at this data set that they're exposing related to federal spending, but more holistically look at what the broader open data initiatives in the government mean and how they should be thinking about data publishing and data standards in a consistent way across their organizations. And the Data Act is one good platform for convening those groups.
Now, there are a lot of systems that the federal government operates, even within a given department. You've got your procurement system, you've got your accounting system, there might be multiple versions of those, you've got vendor registrations and so forth. All of them have some of the data related to what the Data Act covers. Can the schema that is published, can that be applied to the data in all of those systems and thereby render them more interoperable?
So the way to think about the schema is that it will be the glue between all of these systems that you're going to be submitting your information against to get it into a standard data structure that can be shared through USA Spending or a successor site, and then ultimately through that out to the public. And so the way to think about the legacy environments and the existing financial systems is you're going to want to take a look at the schema, do some mapping and figure out where those particular elements of information reside today and make a determination as to what the effort is going to be to get that information from, say, grants information or your appropriations and budget information aligned to your payment and obligation system so that it can all be pushed out in one data push out to the new USA Spending site.
All right, we're going to play a little short version of the password lightning round game here. A couple of phrases that keep coming up that probably people outside of the IT area should know. Let's talk about the word schema itself. It sounds like scheme. What is a schema?
Sure. Schema is a broad term that's used to define data structures, and often people talk about schemas in terms of a particular database, right, and the structure that is used to define the information that's contained within that. But there are also standards around schema. So the W3C, for example, the World Wide Web Consortium, which maintains many different standards around internet exchange of information, has defined an XML schema standard, which is used to describe data structures in a consistent way that are machine readable and portable between systems. And that XML schema standard is also adopted by many of the database vendors for structuring their information and importing information into their systems. And so having a standardized way of describing data schemas allows us to make them portable and move data sets between systems.
And you used one of the second words I wanted to ask you about, and that is XML, extensible markup language. What is that, and how does that apply here?
Sure. So XML is another W3C standard, which has been around for quite a while, and is used to mark up or tag documents in a way that machines can read them and also have human-readable tags as well. So if we think about kind of other tagging standards that are out there, HTML was used to define a standard way of tagging information for presentation on the Internet so that we can view things in a consistent way in web browsers. XML was defined more broadly as a way to tag information so that it can be shared electronically. And then if we think about the schema concept, the XML schema standard allows us to define not just that tags can be created, but specific structures for those tags in capturing more conceptual or other sorts of metadata in the schema. So XML and XML schema are very closely related standards that build upon each other.
And when traded corporations submit their information to the Securities and Exchange Commission, don't they do it in that XML format?
They do. And they're also using the XBRL standard, which is based on XML and XML schema and XLink. And the XBRL standard goes one step further and starts to define taxonomies, which are data dictionaries, which provide additional standardization to the conceptual metadata, to the relationships between concepts, and also to reference data. And so what we've seen in some of the other adoptions of XBRL in the U.S. government, at the SEC, at the bank regulators, is that the taxonomies have provided a powerful tool for not just defining kind of a technical standard for the exchange of information, but also getting to a high degree of granularity and consistency with respect to the conceptual metadata that's required to understand things like particular reporting concepts. In the context of SEC reporting and financial statements, it would be consistency around how companies are described and how their current assets are captured, and the context about reporting periods are defined. In the context of federal spending, we'll get to a high degree of granularity and consistency about how we describe things like obligations and appropriations and line item spending information and what a program is, and define even those conceptual things within the metadata so that we can have a machine-readable exchange of the information from agencies to a centralized system for collection and dissemination of that data. And it gives us a robust framework for doing validations of the data so that we can ensure that we have kind of consistency and a higher quality of information. And that's been one of the challenges with the USA spending data sets today is insight into the quality and reliability of the information and how it connects to the other layers of the federal spending life cycle.
We're speaking with Bryce Pippert. He's a financial data expert and principal at Booz Allen Hamilton. And so if you add all of this up, does the guidance that has come out so far pretty much give agencies a consistent way to look at the data, as you described, and then also to somehow alter it so that it meets what the conceptual framework for it will be?
Yeah, publishing the standards that have been put out so far is a very important step and provides a roadmap now for agencies to start to assess what they've got and figure out any gaps or challenges that they're going to have. We're going to see increased activity on pilots around the implementation of the Data Act, and through that, we're certainly going to see lessons learned. And some of the data sets that were published are still in a draft mode, so we could see some minor movement in those. But what we have is an important first step, and an opportunity for agencies and other stakeholders to provide some final input and help to figure out this implementation roadmap going forward.
And so if I'm a CFO or I'm a CIO and I'm looking at all of this guidance that is out, I've got 2 years to get this done in theory, what do I have to do this morning?
Yeah. There are a number of things that CFOs and CIOs can move out on today. One, I think standing up an internal working group to focus on this is important. There's a new playbook that was just published related to the Data Act rollout that provides some very simple steps that agencies can look at to assess where they're at. There are also a number of industry events that are coming up this summer that it would be useful, I think, for CFO organizations, CIO organizations to participate in and be aware of. There's a Data Act Demo Day on Capitol Hill and a Data Act Summit at the Washington Convention Center. Those are on the June 9th and 10th, hosted by the Data Transparency Coalition. And ACT-IAC, AGA, are very involved in those sorts of forums, as well as hosting their own events and convening groups. So staying plugged into those communities is also going to be extremely helpful to understand what other agencies are doing. But as I think about this, it's also just an opportunity to think of your data as an asset to be managed and to step back and think about broader strategies around data management. And so there's some very tactical things that can be done today, but it's also, this is happening at a time when we're seeing broader trends and desires to push more and more data sets out into the public. And the Data Act provides a good framework for thinking about the levels of quality and consistency that are really needed to push data out into the public well.
And so would you say that to add it all up, the framers of this law seem to know what they were talking about, and will adherence to it get the government to where it says it wants to be, which is to be able to track spending in some consistent way, no matter who wants to do the tracking?
I think so. I mean, the Data Act was really about two things. It was about getting higher quality related to spending data and deeper transparency into how data is spent and providing that full life cycle view of the spending. And what we see so far is that we've got an initial set of data standards which provide those connections between the appropriations budget, obligations, payments, et cetera. And so, you know, if we continue on this path, I think we're going to see a very successful rollout and a lot of the primary aims of the Data Act being achieved.
All right. Bryce Pippard is the financial data expert and principal at Booz Allen Hamilton. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.